move up into groups like you have is the younger you are, the more relevant this is going to be. The older you get, the farther removed we become. And the further we get to the fact that we're in the place where maybe we're ready to pass on something. We need to hand on something and we're preparing. You know, some of us are looking, you know, things are pretty imminent. We're making good plans, you know. Some of us were thinking that we have time, but none of us know the time. None of us know when the death angel is going to come. This week we've seen in Billy Ross, a young man that wasn't expecting to be taken from this world, but he's taken from this world. But each one of us bear a responsibility to maintaining what has been left to us. You people in the front row, you young people, young adults, you've got the greatest fight ahead of you that I believe our nation has seen in claiming what God has left us. And the further back we get, the more complacent, the more easy we have seen things come. We lived in a time in my generation, I'm in that 55 to 65 range. You know, I'm in the range just past your parents. And I seen the time when people would literally wouldn't think about going into a church and doing something. And now they think nothing about going and stealing our air conditioners. Stealing things or coming to the church to shoot up. Found a hypodermic needle out here in the parking lot the other night. Coming to a place like this to sin. People wouldn't think about turning their televisions on and seeing the things that are on TV today. Amen. Things that you take for granted, you think it's just commonplace. Back in your parents' days, when your parents were kids, not too far removed, would have made your parents go, huh? But God said we've become so complacent, we've become so attached and so surrounded by sin that it doesn't even make us blush anymore. In Genesis chapter number 26, we read the account of Isaac, who had been left a great blessing, who had been left a great fortune, who had been left a great inheritance by his father. And he had to struggle to maintain. He had to struggle to claim that inheritance. You guys, I'm telling you, are going to struggle to reclaim what's been lost in America, what's been lost in our churches. And I want to preach to you tonight for just a few minutes. And this is more relevant from the front to the back, I think, as it's preached, than it is. You know, the octarians say, well, that was in my day, that was in my time, and there's nothing I can do now. I'm past the age of being able to make a difference, and we're never past the age. But there comes a point in time to where we're not in the mainstream. You're not out in the mainstream workplace. You're not in the mainstream of politics. And, you know, and I'm not degrading that or not saying anything, but it's just a fact of life. The older we get, the more removed we get from what is going on. Since I've retired, I've become more wrapped up, more absorbed in what's going on in my daily life. Me and Brother Jim was talking the other day about trying to get together to do something. And, well, you know, I've got doctor's appointments here and there and there. And I said, yeah, well, this ain't going to work today because you got a doctor's appointment in the morning. I've got one in the afternoon, so we can't get together, you know. And we do. We become absorbed in a different type of life, a different type of thing that's happening. But this is very relevant is very relevant to these on this front pew. It's very relevant to those who are sitting in the next couple of pews behind them. Where we place our priorities and where we place our things. In Genesis chapter number 26, we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. If you'd like to stand tonight, get a break and rest your legs for a minute and just move around just a second before we get started. In verse number 12, it says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of the servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? We're thankful tonight for our young people coming back from High Point, and I'm always encouraged when they come back from High Point, when they came back from Faith of Our Fathers, and we heard how God had moved and how God had done things in their midst, and they had got to see a moving of the Holy Spirit of God in lives and in their own lives and lives of others. I remember the night that little sister called and told me from Faith of Our Fathers that she had got saved. She had finally gotten it settled, amen, in her heart and in her life. And I'm so thankful for calls like that. I'm so thankful for witnesses like that. I'm so thankful for testimonies like that. But you know, not every place that we go, not every church that young people are in today have that opportunity and have that privilege. And I tell you what, it's time to reclaim the inheritance that has been left to us. It's time for you guys to realize that you're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to be bold in your generation and you're going to have to fight and strive to maintain what has been left before you and left for you. And parents, you who are setting the next few rows back, you need to be vigilant in doing what God would have you to do. You are the ones who are leaving a legacy. You're the ones who are leaving an inheritance for your children who are coming behind you. And you can leave an inheritance of this world or you can leave an inheritance of God. Amen. And I tell you what, when your children look back and your grandchildren look back and they talk about you and they think about you and they are in conversations that revolve around you, they ought to be such as they think and they say, he left or she left us a godly heritage and a godly inheritance that we can be proud of and we can rest in and rest on. Amen. That's what Abraham had done for his son. But he had to fight for it. He had to strive for it. He had to work for it. You see, sometimes we think what we have comes easy. You think what America has been given comes easy. Do you realize that what you have in being able to worship in a Baptist church like this today has come at a great cost? It's come at a great price. As Bryson can tell you, he's a young man. He was on the trip with us. As Brother Jim can tell you, and I can tell you, to be able to worship the way that we worship today right here in America come at great cost in America. Amen. You have an inheritance that has been left to you, an inheritance that's worth fighting for, an inheritance that's worth striving for. Look in verse number 12. We see that the inheritance has been received and given unto us. We've been blessed with an inheritance from the Lord. In verse number 12, it said, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." But there's a problem with that. When God begins to bless his people, the world looks on his people and they begin to envy what you have. Amen. They begin to envy what God is doing in your life. And envy is another means sometimes of jealousy. Amen. They look at you and they're jealous of what you have, and they don't want you to have it, and they try to take that away from you. We live in a time now when they're trying to take more away from these young people than they ever have before. They want God removed from everything. They want God removed from every place. There are people in America today, believe this or not, there are people in America who are fighting to have laws passed that will make it illegal for you as a parent to teach your children about God. That's in the works right now. They're fighting, they're striving to do that. They are envying what has happened. They don't like the fact that Christian homes are the most stable homes. Christian homes are the most prosperous homes. Christian homes are the most blessed homes. Christian homes are the most less reliant on the government homes. They depend on God instead of the government, and they don't want that. They want you totally dependent on another power. And praise God, I want you to know something. There's no power in earth and on earth that can do what God's going to do for the family in America. Amen. They want to rob you of that. The inheritance has been received. It's been handed down. It's been given unto us. And God has blessed us with a godly heritage as a nation. But we're squandering that. We're allowing others to take that away from us. God has blessed us with a godly heritage as a church. And I'm not talking about Charlestown Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church. Amen. I'm talking about anyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ. He's been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. I'm talking about, I don't care what their title is, what name they have, what religion they claim it is. If they've trusted Christ as their Savior and put their faith in Him and confess that, they are the church. Y'all don't believe that? It's a fact. The Bible said, whosoever. I don't care if a man goes to a Catholic church if he's trusted Jesus as the Savior. Amen. And hasn't trusted in baptism and hasn't trusted in religion. He's part of the church. Amen. Amen. Y'all got real quiet on that. I want to get this straight. Now, I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm a Baptist because Baptists are the people of the book. Amen. I don't subscribe to religion. I really don't care to be a Baptist. I just associate with the Baptists. I'm a child of God's what I really am. Amen. Blood bought, blood washed. Amen. Blood secured. According to the Word of God. And that's what matters. And I've been given a godly heritage, but it's eroding, it's being attacked, it's being assaulted. As an individual, I have a godly heritage. As a people, we need to realize that what God has given us is under assault, and what we've received is under assault. What God wants to do in our lives is under assault. What God wants to do in these young people's lives is already under assault. But we need to stand strong and leave a godly heritage to those who've come behind us. See, You're looking to the future. You're looking where there's no children there yet. But you know what? Your parents are sitting behind you and they're looking at you. Amen. The next generation is sitting behind them and they're looking at them. And we can go all the way back into church. And each one of us bear a responsibility to leave something behind us when we go for those who are still here. Amen. You may not be able to reach from the back pew to the front pew, but you can reach to the pew in front of you and make a difference. Because we have received what God has given us. We've been blessed from the Lord. And I tell you what, we need not take that blessing lightly. But the inheritance that has been received, the inheritance that America has been given, has been robbed and taken away from us the way that we used to know it. America is no longer the America that I grew up in. I would love to have the America that I grew up in back again, when children could roam the streets and play freely, when children could enjoy a good, wholesome lifestyle, and perverts and pedophiles and all this other garbage. Garbage was taken out of society and was separated from among us, and we didn't have to deal with them. Praise God. I would love to have that for my children and my grandchildren and this generation that's sitting on this front pew. But it's not to be. It's been robbed from us. It's been stolen and taken away. Look at the next few verses here. What happened? Verses 15 to 17. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. The Bible tells us that what Abraham had left, what Abraham had provided, what Abraham had made available to his children, to his son, to his heirs that were coming after him, had been robbed from him because the Philistines had stopped them up. Do you realize that where they lived, water was the source of life? Amen. Wells were important. Wells were not just something that was nice to have. They were an absolute necessity. And you had to know when you was going from point A to point B, where was the next place that you was going to get water. Amen. You know, we can go a long time without food. Some of us can go a lot longer than others. Amen. We can go a long time without food. But none of us can go for very many days without water. Amen. We have to have it. When the children of Israel were in the desert, the thing they clamored for the most, the thing they cried about and complained about the most was, where are we going to get water? Amen. You know, God has left us an inheritance of living water, amen, that we can pass on to our children, something that will bring life, something that will bring hope, something that will bring an inheritance unto you to pass on to your children, something that will last through all of eternity, and the world has stopped it up. The world has plugged it up. The world is trying to dry it up. The world is trying to rob our children. The world is trying to rob our families. The world is trying to rob our churches of the inheritance that God has left unto us. Amen. And it has no scruples about how it's doing it and how it does it. And it don't even care that you know that they are doing it. Amen. It said the Philistines had stopped them up. I'm sure Isaac knew who was robbing his inheritance. You see, the wells was probably one of the most important things that his father had left him. He left him flocks and herds. The Bible tells us that Abraham was a very rich man. He became very wealthy because God had blessed him. But all those flocks and... No, look at that. Ain't you all glad I'm standing back here? Amen. All those flocks and herds are going to be useless if you don't have water. You know what? All the religion in the world is going to do you no good if you don't have water. Amen. All the forms of godliness that you can put on, that the world is offering us today, you know, the devil's not coming in and say, we're just going to cut you off completely. He's coming in and he's just stopping up the wells. Amen. He's sneaking in. He's done got into our churches. And he's told us that preaching is no longer relevant. Amen. What did you kids hear this weekend? I know you played games and you done a lot of things, but what did you all hear this weekend? Heard a lot of good preaching, didn't you? Amen. Well, what's made a difference in your life? It's preaching. Amen. What brought you to the place of just being blessed in the service? I'm sure the songs added to it, but wasn't it the preaching? But we're telling our kids that's no longer relevant. We don't need young men like Jesse standing up anymore and saying, hey, God has called me to preach, and I'm going to preach the gospel. The world is saying, man, you're irrelevant. Man, you need to sit out. Man, you need to go do something else. We don't need that anymore. No, what the world needs more than anything is more young men that are willing to stand up. And you know what? There's fewer and fewer and fewer people that are willing to answer the call and stand up. We've been robbed of our inheritance. Fewer people every year are surrendering to go to the mission field. More preachers are resigning from their pastorates and from the pulpits than ever before. I forget, the numbers are astounding. How many preachers resign every week from their churches? There's churches all over America that are needing pastors. My lands, we traveled to New England and probably seen 10 or 15 churches right now that would take a pastor if somebody would come and pastor their church. But if I'm not going to be a big name, if it's not going to be a big hoo-ha, if it's going to be work, I don't want it. Why? Because we've been robbed of a godly inheritance. We've been robbed of what the gospel is all about. Let me tell you something, brother. God allows you to pastor a church that has three or four people where the Spirit of God is. You're 100% better off there than you are in a church with 300 or 400 people that could care less. Amen. We've lost sight of what godliness is all about. We've lost sight of what holiness really means to our lives. The devil has stopped up our churches. He stopped up our wells. And he stopped up the lives of Christian people. And he's robbing them of things. He's robbing them of their joy. He's robbing them of their hope. He's robbing them of their contentment. He's robbing them of their assurance. He's robbing them of the grace. You say, how can he take away grace? Paul said, I would not frustrate the grace of God. Amen. There's a lot of men today that could care less if they frustrate the grace of God if it just puts money in their pocket. Amen. We're not worried about preaching truth as long as I can please everybody, because the bigger congregation I have, the bigger my paycheck's going to be. Amen. It's revolving around the wrong things. You know why? Because you've been robbed. Amen. You've been robbed in the pulpit. Amen. People no longer preach the truth of God's word, afraid of offending somebody. You've been robbed in the way that we worship because we no longer want to worship in spirit and in truth. We got to have some kind of a thing where everything's just planned out. Now, I tell you what, some people think Jack Hiles was the greatest thing in the world, and he done this and he done that. And in the 1960s and 70s, churches all over America was trying to follow Jack Hiles. And I know this is going to make a lot of people mad, especially those that are going to probably hear it on a CD or whatever. But there's people today that still clamor to Jack Hiles Church. Jack Hiles did this, and Jack Hiles did it that way, and Jack Hiles did that way. Why? He was full of gimmicks. And he would gimmick them right into church. He said, oh, no, that was just ministering. That was just this. No, it was gimmicks. You know what I'm dealing with today? I'm dealing with people today that have no sense of salvation and what it really means whatsoever. Because somebody told them, if you come to church and you say this prayer, we're going to give you a piece of bubble gum. That's the truth. Now, I wholeheartedly believe in eternal security. But there's a lot of people out there that said a prayer Hey, man, that all they got for that prayer was a piece of bubble gum. That's the truth. Their life has borne no fruit whatsoever. You say, now, Pastor, you're getting into works. No, I'm not. I'm getting right into the Bible. Amen. Their life has borne no fruits. There are no spiritual fruits that testify that there's a good root. Amen. And they've been sold false gospel. They've been sold false hope. It's all about building a church and getting numbers. Why? Because it fattens the wallet. It's all about that right there, man. Man, if I can build a bigger church, if I can get more people, amen. If I can have the biggest congregation in the country, I get a bigger paycheck. You know what the old Baptists, you know what their philosophy was? You remember Bryson? It wasn't to build big churches, was it? It was when your church got so big, you sent people out of your church to go start another church. Amen? It wasn't about building a big church. It wasn't about building big congregations. They had some big congregations, but when it got so big, they sent somebody out. They've got a preacher that was called to preach, and they sent him, and they sent some people with him to go to an area where a church was needed and to start another church, because it wasn't about legacy building. It was about Christ preaching. Amen. We've been robbed into thinking the wrong way. We've been robbed into ministering the wrong way. And the only ones who's been cheated were your parents. Who was we talking to the other day? Talking to somebody the other day. Said they was talking to somebody, and the man had never heard about Jesus. Was it Wednesday night we was talking about that? Brother L, I think, was here. What, wasn't it? Brother L was talking to a man. The man was in his 80s. Wasn't that the one he was talking about? No, that wasn't it. There was another man he talked to. He was talking about two different guys. He'd give a waitress a track that had John 3:16 on it. Right when he was here just a couple weeks ago, when they left Florida, they come up to South Carolina and stayed for a couple days while the hurricane went through it and went back to Florida. And they gave... That's right. That's right. He signed the credit card receipt, and he always puts John 3:16. That's what it was exactly. You're right. I hear so many different things. I get so many different ones. I get them all mixed up sometimes. But he put John 3:16, and the girl says, What is John 3:16? What's that mean? He said, you don't know what John 3:16 is? And she said, no, I've never heard of it. Never heard of it. And he said he was starting to explain it to her, and her manager came over and was kind of wanting her to go on. And he said, I'd like to finish explaining this to her. And he told her what John 3:16 meant. For God so loved the world. You see, there's a whole generation that's being robbed of hearing the gospel. Several years ago, when those four teens got killed down here on Carpenter's Point Road, some of you were here. Brother Tom Emery was going to church here at the time. And his son was one of the ones that got killed in that car accident. And there was a little boy that came to this church due to that accident one night. And he came in here and he was crying his eyes out because two of the ones that got killed were his sisters. And poured his eyes out. And I got down and I got to talking to that little boy. He was about 12 years old. And I said, do you know that Jesus can comfort your heart? He said, no. He said, I don't know about Jesus. I said, nobody's ever told you about the love that God. He said, nobody's ever told me about God. I've never heard about God. I said, that Jesus can give you hope and give you eternal life. I've never heard about that. Friends, we've been robbed We've been robbed by religion. We've been robbed by false teaching. We've been robbed by false prophets. We've been robbed of the joy and the peace and the contentment that we can have in our hearts because of what Christ has done. It's frustrating to look around and see your inheritance has been taken away, that the inheritance that had been brought to us and left to us by some real good preachers and some good godly men and women in the past has just all been taken away because somebody envies what somebody else is doing. Somebody's jealous. You know who's jealous of what's happening in your life when you're in the house of God? The devil. And he'll make sure that any way he can, he'll rob you of your inheritance. But look at this in verse number 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped him after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Isaac made a decision. He made a very important decision, a decision that we need to make in our churches today, a decision that you need to make in your lives, young people, a decision that you need to make in your lives, parents, a decision that you need to make in your lives, grandma and grandpa, a decision that you need to make in your life, great-grandma and great-grandpa, that you're going to reclaim what the devil has taken away. You're going to reclaim what the devil has stolen. You're going to reclaim what the devil has stopped up and leave something behind for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren that will sustain them, something that will hold them, something that will encourage them, and something that will help them for all of eternity. Amen. We've got so many things going on that we forgot the most important thing is the gospel. Amen. You know, I go to a lot of youth meetings sometimes, and you see a lot of games and a lot of skits and a lot of this and a lot of that going on. And some people say, well, your meeting's a little bit different. I say, yeah. Amen. It's about preaching. Amen. It's about young men preaching. Amen. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which were lost. Amen. And I tell you, I like to give young men the opportunity to preach. This young man, he comes and preaches for us right regular at our youth group on ministries night. Amen. And a couple other of the young men that come. We had some other young men that come, and their pastor told them they couldn't come no more. I don't know why. I still haven't grasped that. But you know what? It needs to be a place where it's about preaching. Everything we need to do and it needs to be revolved around the Word of God and the Word of God being lifted up. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the messenger. It's about the one that we preach about. It's the one that we teach about. It's the one that we share about. It's the one that we talk about. He should be everything in our church, and he should be everything in our lives. And praise God, if we make him everything in our lives, we'll leave an inheritance to our kids that's tangible for their spiritual life, that has some meaning for their spiritual life. But we got to make a decision that we're going to reclaim what's been robbed of us. It wasn't an easy thing. It come at a great cost. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they digged in the days of Abraham his father. And Isaac's servants, in verse 19, digged in the valley. You know what his servants means? They were his employees. Amen. It wasn't easy. It came at a great cost. But it was a cost that Isaac was willing to bear. Are you willing to bear the cost of what it's going to take to reclaim what we've been robbed of? We've become, and the songs that we sing, and Jerry and Jackie and Stanley and a little bit, and Jimmy Bryson can tell you that I'm getting to the point to where, you know, the songs that we sing, we're questioning the content of the songs. There's a lot of feel-good songs. Brother Stanley nailed it the other night. He said, it's a good shade tree song, but it's really not. You know, some songs, there's nothing really wrong with them, but they're just not, they just have no meat. They're just not scriptural. They have no power. They're all about me and poor old me and what I'm doing, where I'm going to go. They're not about the Lord. Amen. Man, you listen to the Rochesters. I tell you, that a family is a godly family, from Harold and Mrs. Rochester all the way down to their kids that are singing. Some of the songs Brent and his family sung, some of them old hymns, just because they do it in the bluegrass style, doesn't change anything. It still has power. Down from His glory, ever-loving story, my Lord and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Amen. Born in a manger, but to this world a stranger, a man of sorrow, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love Him. How I adore Him. Amen. Man, you grasp what He's saying. It's about Jesus. Amen. We've been robbed, but there's a cost to reclaiming what we want to get back. And sometimes it's a great cost. Sometimes it's going to be more than what we're aware that we're going to pay and what it's going to cost us. But there's a cost, and He was willing to bear the cost. And it wasn't easy. It was difficult. It took great effort. They had to dig out what had been stopped up again. They didn't have no modern drills. It wasn't easy. They had to do it the old-fashioned way. And let me tell you something. If you want to reclaim what God has left you for an inheritance, and what God has given you, and what the world has robbed from you, it's going to cost you something, and it's going to take some effort to do it. Amen. It's going to be making some changes in your family. It's going to be making some changes in your lives. Amen. You all need to make some changes in your lives to reclaim what God, the way you dress, the way you talk, the friends you have, the people, and I don't care what anybody tells you. Amen. Hanging around people that are going to drag you down, you're not going to win them 9 times out of 10. Amen. Most of the time, they're going to pull you down instead of you pulling them up. There's nothing wrong with sharing with them the gospel. We're giving them a gospel track. But you need to watch your friends. Mom and dad, you need to watch your friends. And you that are on Facebook, amen. I see some of your friends. You see some of my friends. Amen. And they're not all godly friends. But we got to be careful of who we get close to. Amen. There's nothing wrong with having friends and having acquaintances that you keep at an arm's length. Amen. But you better watch who you're bringing in close, because they will have an effect on your family. They'll have an effect on your testimony. They'll have an effect on the way that you see things. And I know everybody's looking at me like, hurry up, let's get this thing going. Amen. But there's a great cost. There's a great effort. But there was a great resolve. Because what was going to happen if he didn't do anything was going to have a profound effect on everything that he had. Amen. To do nothing means to lose another generation. Amen. To do nothing means that pretty soon your children, when you're married and God has sent you the one that you're supposed to be married to, and you prayerfully look for the spouse that God is going to send your way, and y'all wait for the one that God sends your way, I'm not just talking to young ladies, I'm talking to young men too. And you wait, and God gives you children. If you don't do anything, what hope are your children going to have? What hope are you going to leave to them? Because you wasn't resolved to do it. Y'all stand in shallow water, right? I was told to remind you that every now and then. Amen. He told me, his dad told me, tell them every now and then to make sure they stay in the shallow water.
So we bought floaties.
You bought floaties. Amen. That's going to get you in trouble. Amen. You know what floaties are? They're a toy. Amen. You know what happens when you try to play with toys in the real world? You get hurt. Stay in the shallow water. Leave the floaties alone. Amen. You got to resolve. Amen. Resolve that this is where I'm going to be. We're staying in the shallow. You resolve to stay in the shallow water? Amen. You resolve to stay in the shallow water? Amen. You resolve to stay where God wants you? Mom, Dad, you resolved. Are you resolved to be the parents that God has called you to be, even though you won't make the most popular choices for your children? Amen. God didn't call you to be the best friend. He called you to be mom and dad. Man, I come home one day and my wife and my daughter were going, they're not here, neither one of them. They were going at it. And it was just right that teenage time when there's just butting heads. And I said, am I ever going to walk in this house again and you two not be arguing about something? It's not about being a best friend. It's about being mom. It's about being dad. Are you resolved to that? I tell my grandkids, I said, now, y'all might not like what I got to say. We had this conversation with some of the family last night. I said, you might not like what I say, but I want you to know something. When I say what I say, I don't say it to hurt your feelings. I say it because it's for your benefit. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. I'm not trying to buy your affection. I'm your grandfather. I'm your father. And what you need to hear is what I'm going to tell you. It's not popular. Are you resolved? Are you resolved to look at your kids and say, your life isn't what Christ would have it to be? You need to get it straightened. If you don't tell them, who's going to? I don't want to hurt their feelings. They might not bring the grandkids around. I done told mine, if you're going to use my grandchildren as hostages, you might as well just keep them home because I won't be held hostage by my grandchildren. You got to resolve. And it's hard when they want to do that. Anybody ever been through that? Yeah, I mean, yeah. They'll do it. Kids, we just won't take the kids around. I said, you're not going to hold me hostage. I lived all my life without them grandkids. Up to this point. And I survived just fine. I love my grandkids. I love them all to death. Amen. But I'm resolved to speak the truth. Amen. I'm resolved to stand on the truth. Billy will tell you what I'm saying is the truth. I make them all mad sometime or another. I'm an equal opportunity offender. Amen. But I'll tell you what you need to hear when you need to hear it. Whether you take my advice or not, it's one thing. But we need to be resolved to reclaim what God has given us, what God left us as an inheritance. You know, in Let me share this story with you. I know it's a little long. In 1940, when the Germans invaded France and took over France, and when the Vichy treaty was signed, and part of the French people were willing to capitulate, to surrender to the Germans, and they signed a treaty that was called the Vichy Treaty, and they were called the Vichy French. You had the real French, and then you had the Vichy French then. You had the French that were French and was willing to fight against the Nazis, and then you had the Vichy French, were the ones who had capitulated, the ones who had sold out. And you know, many times in our churches, we can look around, we can see a lot of Vichy Christians. They've sold out because they're not resolved to stand. But they looted Paris. They looted all of France and all of the great museums and galleries and private homes that had artwork. They stole, and they hauled it off. And even today, there are still pieces of artwork that are being found around the world that are coming up, and they're coming up for auction. And the University of Oklahoma, I don't know how many of you remember just a couple years ago, this was in the news every now and then, how the University of Oklahoma held a painting there that had been robbed from a French home, from the bank vault of a French home in 1940 by the Nazis. And the daughter of the man whom owned the painting found out that it was in the University of Oklahoma in their art gallery. And in 1913, she started legal proceedings to try to reclaim what was hers, to reclaim this painting that had been stolen. The University of Oklahoma had bought it from an art dealer, and well, it had been bequeathed to them, but it had been bought from an art dealer in 1959 by a family whose son later became the chancellor and president of the University of Oklahoma. And when they died, they bequeathed the painting to the art gallery there and left it in their will. And they thought they had a rightful claim to it. But she fought, and she fought, and she fought, until an agreement was finally reached in 2015, 2 years of legal wrangling to reclaim this painting. And in the very end, she never intended to hurt anybody. She just wanted what was rightfully hers. An agreement was made that ownership of the painting would be transferred to her, and the painting would be sent to her, and for 5 years it would hang in the museum that she chose for it to hang in. And then after 5 years, it was returned to the University of Oklahoma, and it would hang in their art gallery there for 3 years. And then every 3 years, it would transfer back and forth between these two art galleries. But she was the sole owner and the sole proprietor. Why did she get back what had been stolen and what had been lost? 40, 50 years prior, because she had to resolve to keep on fighting. She had to resolve to reclaim it. These kids have come back from camp today. I'm excited about what happened in their lives in camp, but are you resolved to keep it up? Are you resolved not to let what happened this weekend die in your lives? Mom and Dad, are you resolved to make sure that you keep them as excited about Jesus as what they are right now? Are you resolved to do that? Isaac wasn't satisfied with just what his father had given him. But if we read on, and I'm going to quit for the sake of time. If we read on, we find out that Isaac dug other wells. He not only reclaimed what his father had given and what his father had left, what his inheritance was, but he made a decision in his life that he was going to leave more to his heritage, more to his seed after him than what his father had left for him. Amen. You know what else that took? It took great effort. They dug a well. The Philistines strove for the well. They dug another well. They strove for that well. He dug another well until they didn't strive for it, and he named it Rehoboth. Anybody know what Rehoboth means? I've seen some whispering it. Do you know what Rehoboth means? It means peace. Peace. You know what it's going to take to have peace in your lives? It's going to take work. It's going to take striving with the enemy and keep going on. When you testify and they tell you they don't want to hear it, when you testify and they make fun of you, when you testify and they laugh you and all the kids in school think you're the weirdo, keep testifying. Keep testifying. Keep telling people about Jesus. Because guess what? One day somebody's going to say, I want to hear more. I want to know more. Can you tell me how to get saved, Bryson? Can you tell me how I can know that I can have eternal life, Jesse? Can you tell me, Josh, more about Jesus? I want to know more. You know what I found in my life? Just across the bridge, I don't know if it's still open now. I think the Beachcomber finally shut down, didn't it? I always used to use it as my illustration. There's a bar across the bridge called the Beachcomber. But when somebody died in Charlestown, they didn't call the bartender. Amen? When there was a tragedy in town, when Cammy Ring was killed, amen, they didn't call the bartender at the bar, even though her parents were messed up pretty good with drugs. They didn't call the drug dealer. They called the preacher. I wasn't the most popular person before that, but I was their best friend to bring them through that. When the world needs Jesus, are you going to be there? When they've made fun of you? When they told you they didn't need you? When they told you you didn't fit in? Are you still going to be there? It's coming. It's getting more and more and more. It's getting worse and worse. You're going to face more than what I faced in my days. Your parents are facing more than what I faced. But you're going to face more than what your parents face. Are you willing to go beyond? Not just be satisfied with what mom and dad has left you and say, I'm going to do more. I'm going to dig some wells myself. I'm going to dig some wells that'll benefit those who come behind me. Mom and Dad, are you willing to say, I'm not satisfied? I'm not satisfied with what I had. I'm going to dig some wells. Maybe I should have preached this sermon in the morning. Amen? Because the folks that are here, you guys are the well diggers. You're the ones who's making a difference. But I want these young people to understand this. I want these young people to grasp this. You know, this scripture, I used it this week for the classical conversations as a devotion. And sometimes you wonder what I can do. What difference can I make? I'll tell you what difference you can make. You can dig wells. You can dig wells. You can leave an inheritance behind you. You can leave more for those who come behind you than what was left for you. Isaac digged even though there was opposition. He digged even though the wells were stopped. He digged when everybody thought, well, all the digging's done. He said, no, it's not over yet. there's another generation coming. And I'll dig some more wells. Tonight, as we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's some here tonight that say, Pastor, I want to reclaim. I want to reclaim the inheritance. I want to reclaim what had been given to me. I want to reclaim what God had done in my life. I want to reclaim for my children. I want to reclaim for my grandchildren what the devil has robbed us of. Young people, do you want what God has for you and has put in store for you? Are you willing to dig some wells? Are you willing to go forward and say, well, I've been given a good godly family, a good godly heritage, but I want to dig some wells for my children and for my grandchildren, and I want to stand faithful to God. Are you willing to reclaim what has been lost in America, what's been lost in our homes today?